What is the ultimate goal of this 3 to 5 member group? It's for each person to become conformed to the image of Christ, to become like Jesus Christ by growing in the Word and then replicating the process.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Discipleship Pathways by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of genuine worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Every summer, I speak at a camp in Bryson City. This is up in the Smoky Mountains near Cherokee to the western side of the state. Many of y'all have been there. Our kids have been going to this camp for almost 16 years. And the church kids have now begun to go, and they've been going for 5-6 years now. It's a wonderful place, a beautiful place. And while the kids are at camp, they get to do one outing. They get to either go horseback riding or gem mining or tubing or hiking. Several years ago, I'm the guest speaker again this year. I'm sitting there in my room thinking, why don't I go hiking? I used to hike back in college. I said, I can do this. And so I decided to go hiking. And the place to hike is Alarka Falls. If some of y'all have been there, it's a beautiful place. 200 feet tall falls, cascading down the side of the mountain. And the hike is to the side of the falls. And the way they described it was as moderately difficult. Y'all know what that means? If you hike, yeah, I can see. Some of you hike, you know what it means, which means this: you will get through most of it, but then there will come a time where you'll wish you were not on the hike. So I started climbing. They put me in the back of the group. The counselors are here, there. The kids are ahead of me. And I stopped halfway point, which was easy climb. I mean, just walking up this dense wooded area, it was not too bad, much to hold on to. And then I stopped to get some pictures, a couple of minutes at the most, got back on the trail, but I couldn't see anybody. I could hear them, but I couldn't see them. That's all right, I can catch up. So I began to climb, but that's about the point where it almost becomes vertical. So I'm like this, and I'm climbing. And if you hike, you know how that can be. And I got stuck. And I'm thinking, oh no. Going back is not an option, because what they do is they drop you at the foot of the falls and then they move the van. Where are you going to get out? So I'm like, I can't go back. There is no cell phone because we put them all away. So I am pretty much like this. And I'm saying, Lord, please send someone. And a couple of minutes later, I guess one of the counselors realized I wasn't there, so here she came looking for me and said, Mr. Shah, do you need any help? It's like, no, I'm just resting over here. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good. But I said, but just out of curiosity, how did you get up there? And she said, well, what you do is you put your foot here on this rock, and then you hang on to this root over here. I promise you, it seems like it's going to come off, but it's not going to come off. We all came through there, and then you grab this, grab that, grab that. I said, well, that's one way to do it. I said, you go on ahead. I'll be there in a few minutes once I catch my breath. Well, I was like, oh, Lord, please let me remember what you just said. Long story short, got to the falls, got to the top. It was beautiful. It was well worth the climb. The point is this. Without that young lady coming by and showing me, do this, do this, do this, I was done. I was stuck. Why did I share this with you? Because when it comes to discipleship, it is beautiful, it's wonderful to get to the place where you begin to look like Christ, where you can sense His presence in your life. When you begin to walk obediently to the Word, you are now reproducing disciples. It's a wonderful place to be. But here's the problem. Unless there are people ahead of you who can show you the pathway, this is what you need to do next to keep going, you will be stuck. You'll wish you could go back down, but going back down is not an option in the Christian life. You need others to show you the pathway. I guarantee you, sitting here this morning, there are people who are stuck on the side of that discipleship mountain. You know you need to go further with Christ. You know you need to go higher with Him. But you don't know how. You think you know. You think you have the answer, but you're stuck. Unless you follow the pathway. I needed to follow the pathway. I couldn't say, oh, she's only 17. What can she teach me? No, I had to say, she's been there. She is there. I got to get there. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, the message is on discipleship pathways. We have been in this series on discipleship. What does it mean? How important it is? What are the obstacles? But this morning, we're going to learn, where do you need to go? What's the next step? If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul had, listen, he had invested his life in Timothy. He says, keep going. Keep hiking up the mountain of discipleship. Don't go back. Be strong. But that's not enough. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy, I've shown you the path of discipleship. Keep going, but help others who are behind you. Show them the path that I have shown you. And who are these men? The faithful ones. Not just anybody, everybody. The faithful ones. This morning, it's not just for men, it's also for women. Do you know the pathway of discipleship? Who is it who is helping you right now? You cannot be a disciple all alone. Someone has to guide you. And if you know the path, are you helping someone else? Are you a disciple? You know, unless you receive Christ as your Savior, you're not a disciple. That begins our discipleship. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It means to get on the path, you have to come to Christ. Now, as you know, we have been studying discipleship, the importance of discipleship, the goal of discipleship. Now, where do we get the idea of discipleship? From Jesus Himself. In what is known as the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. He didn't say go therefore and make Christians. He didn't say go therefore and make Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Pentecostals. He said go make disciples of all the nations. And we came up with this acronym, WATER, to represent the goal of discipleship. Five things in this. A, W is witnesses. A disciple should be a witness to Christ. A is accountability. T is togetherness. E is established in the Word. And R is reproducing disciples. This is the goal of discipleship. When all of these work together, now you and I look like Jesus Christ. But there are obstacles. You can't just get up here. There are obstacles. And last weekend, we looked at those obstacles and the disciplines we need to overcome the obstacles. Five disciplines we looked at very quickly. Discipline of evangelism, confession, church attendance, daily Bible intake, and discipling. Means a disciple should, on a consistent basis, disciple someone else. The next question in this series is, what are the pathways? How do you get to that place? What needs to happen next? Let's go back to this acronym WATER. The first one, W, there's not a whole lot I can tell you on how to get there. If you have a testimony, start sharing it. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with your friends. Share it with your coworkers. Share it with people in the grocery store. Find a way to tell people about Jesus Christ. There's not a whole lot I can tell you. Other than that, T is together, which is very simple. Come to church. Be around other believers. Hear the Word of God on a consistent basis. Once you come to the church, keep going to the Sunday school class. Not a whole lot I can tell you there. Just Go to the Sunday school class. Don't just jet out of here. Go there. Go to Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study in church, or go somewhere else where there are Bible studies going on. But it's important to be together. So not much there. But the rest of the three that are still on the screen, A, accountability, E, established in the Word, and R, reproducing discipleship, you need someone to show you the pathway. You need to know, how do I do this? How does this work out? This morning, I'm going to focus on A and R, which is accountability and reproducing disciples, because they kind of go hand in hand. So let me take you back to that image that I showed you in the first message on how Jesus made disciples. He began with the crowd, all the people that were around him who didn't care. They were there. That's about it. And then he moved people into the congregation, which was the multitudes. Now, who are the multitudes? The multitudes are people who heard his teachings. They fed upon the food he gave, and they even saw the miracles that he did. They were the multitudes. Who are the multitudes today? The people who come every weekend. They are the multitudes. They come in and they hear the word of God. They see the things of God. That's a multitude. But that's not enough. Jesus moved from the multitude to the community. Who is the community? These are the 12 disciples that Jesus picked. He poured his life into them. He explained the parables to them. He taught them how to pray. This is the community. Where is the community? That's Sunday school. That's the Bible study group. This is where community begins to happen. You begin to know each other's lives. Many of us who are here Sunday morning, you're wonderful people, but you have no community. You come, you hear me preach. It's a one-way communication. No one knows what's happening in your life. Community is where that happens. But Jesus did not stop there. He went on to the third ring, which is the circle, or I would like to call it the inner circle. Who was in Jesus' inner circle? Peter, James, and John. These were the three that Jesus really took under his wings. They went with him to the Mount of Transfiguration. They went with him when he did miracles that no one believed in. They were there with him in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, "Watch and pray. My soul is extremely weary." See, they were part of Jesus' inner circle. When we're talking about the inner circle, we're talking about this kind of group. Robbie Galati, from whom I learned a lot, he calls this the D group. We call it inner circle at Clearview. An inner circle is a 3 to 5 member, gender-specific group, which means this: it's only men or it's only women. 3 to 5 member, gender-specific, closed group, which means this: once the group begins, you don't keep adding people to it. Oh, I have a friend. Oh, so-and-so, she is in the Word, or he loves the Lord. No, it's closed, which means maybe the next season they can join in. But right now, it's a closed group. Now listen, that exists by invitation only. Sunday morning, anybody can come. And I hope a lot of lost people come. Sunday school, lost people can go. Bible study, lost people can go. But this group right here, it exists by invitation only to believers. Folks, I cannot make you a disciple if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? You got to have Him in your life. You got to have the Holy Spirit. If that is not there, no matter how much I try to make you a disciple, it is in vain. It is futile. So it's a 3 to 5 member, gender-specific, closed group that exists by invitation only to believer and meets on a weekly basis. What I'm teaching you this morning is not only biblical, but this is being done in a lot of churches. Now, if you grew up in a small church, if you grew up in a kind of a dead, dying church, or that's living on fumes from yesteryears of success, this may be a foreign concept to you. But in churches that are growing, it's not a foreign concept. This is why they're growing, because they're growing deep into the Word of God. they're becoming disciples. It is on a weekly basis, but listen, for a determined period, which means this, there is an end to it. 10 months, 12 months, 18 months, it comes to an end. What is the ultimate goal of this 3 to 5 member group? Is for each person to become conformed to the image of Christ, to become like Jesus Christ, by growing in the Word and then replicating the process. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, I go to church. Man, Pastor Shaw, you're a good preacher. I love to hear you preach, and I'm getting so much out of it. Listen, this is not accountability. I cannot keep 500 people accountable. It is impossible. I will lose my marriage. I will lose my kids if I were to keep up with every single one of you. It's not possible. Oh, my Sunday school group. Now, that right there is my accountability group. Or my small group. You cannot do that. Sunday school groups and small groups and Bible study groups are wonderful when you are coming together. But when you have a mixed group of men and women, there's only so much that those men will share. Unless they're creepy. Then we don't want to hear them. Get them out of the group. No, it's impossible to go any further. And if a group has 8 to 10 couples and they're coming together, right there you have 20 people, no longer can you do accountability. You need small groups. You need those Bible study groups. They're wonderful, but they're not to be an accountability group. It's not a D group. It's not an inner circle. An inner circle is a place where it is small enough for you to connect with one another and help one another walk the way of Christ. I can't do it in this service. The Sunday school teachers with 40, 50 students cannot do it. Small groups are wonderful. We call them circles. They can't do those things. It's the inner circle when it begins to happen. And what does it look like? It is confidential. It is confrontational, which means not that you fight with one another, but you know that there's someone there who holds you accountable. I can guarantee it. I'm going to bang this pulpit right now. There are people right now who are messing with sin. There's a hard-heartedness in your heart. There's a disobedience in your life. Your marriage is not where it needs to be, and you know that's the truth. Your prayer life is not strong like it used to be. There's a dullness there. There's a dryness there. You keep doing things because you know if you didn't do it, people would get alerted. That's the truth. But in an accountability group, people can notice and say, how are things with you? What's going on? How is life? We're praying for you. And it's also a time of confession where you don't get invasive. You don't share deep secrets that are happening, but you do share prayer request, and things begin to happen. But you have, Robbie Galati says, a quick word of caution. You must wisely discern to whom you will make yourself accountable, carefully guarding whom you allow to speak in your life. Now, let me give you a verse that really helps us with this. It's Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you can say, if a woman is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. It is impossible for me as a pastor to watch each and every one of your lives and to see that you are being overtaken by trespasses and then come try to restore you. It's impossible. Let me share my heart. There are people who walked away very hurt and discouraged because Pastor Shaw is not there for me. And I have to say, how many people can I be there for? 500? I can't. My Sunday school teacher didn't call me. My small group people didn't care for me. We had this and this happen. Well, they tried their best, but how in the world can a couple, two individuals, take care of 20 to 30 people? Or our care group leaders should have done. It's impossible. They can see general things happening in your life. The only place that this can happen, if a person is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit. It happens when the group is small enough to know things are not right in her life. Things are not right in his life. And then how do you make the restoration? In a spirit of gentleness. It's not judgmental spirit, but a gentle spirit. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So the accountability is connected. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ has given us a law to bear each other's burdens. If you're not doing that right this moment, you're a wonderful person, great person, I love you to death, let's do lunch, but you're not fulfilling the law of Christ. And the only way you can really do that is when you're close enough to people to know that they have a burden. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and you can say examine her own work, and then he or she will have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. Listen to this. For each one shall bear his own load. You say, what does that mean? It seems contradictory. On one hand, we are to bear each other's burdens, but on the other hand, each one shall bear his own load. What's the difference? The difference is this. When you are an accountability group, you're helping each other bear the burdens that we have. But ultimately, each person has to make their own choices. That's when it becomes their own load. If they make the wrong choices, not on the accountability group, it's on them. So how do you start? Our time is limited. Here's the pathway. It begins by praying. When Jesus picked his disciples, he didn't just go out there and pick them. The Bible says he went away and he prayed. And when he was done praying, he went out and he began to look for disciples. He began to find those disciples and he called them apostles. Prayer is the place. You want to start a D group? You want to start an inner circle? Start by praying. God, who is it that needs to be with me, that can help me and I can help them in this 3 to 5 person group? Number two, you have to decide. How do you decide who needs to be in these groups? Well, they have to be believers, number one, but believers who have a desire. If you don't have a desire, it'll be like pulling teeth. Hey, we're meeting this Friday. Oh, man, got so much going on. Man, I could be there. I want to be there. I want to be there. Now, if a person really wants to be there, they'll be there. They have to be individuals who have a desire, who have a determination, which means this: come rain or shine, whatever happens, if that is the morning on which we meet, we meet. Unless there are situations, health, family, something else comes up that you're not aware of, got to be done, we understand. And number three, when it comes to decide, they have a demeanor to learn. They're teachable. So you pray for people who are determined, who have a desire, and they have the right demeanor. If there's a person who is like, they know it all. They heard their famous big preacher, their preacher going home and from our home church, then no matter what you teach them, they'll be like, I remember that 20 years ago. You can't teach people like that. You have to go, no, thank you. Maybe you need to start a group. Ask. Go to these individuals prayerfully and ask them. And don't ask them, I want to disciple you. They'll run from you. Ask them something very simple. How about on a weekly basis, can we meet for Bible study, Bible memorization, and prayer? You'll be surprised how many people will say, yeah. I've been praying for that. And then you prioritize. You yourself have to take this seriously, that these people are meeting, which means this: no matter what's going on, I will make this a priority unless it goes completely providentially out of my hands. And lastly is this. Remember I said the D groups or the inner circles are time-bound, which means this. What happens at the end of those 10 months or 12 or 18 months? We don't continue this group. Now it's time for the student to become a teacher. where each person in that group now goes and spawns another inner circle. Folks, that's how discipleship happens. That's how we begin to capture again the culture in which we live. It's easy to get up here and pray and talk about God send a revival and change our nation. It's easy to fuss about the values that we have in our nation, how we have drifted away from God. It's quite different to say, you know, all that is wonderful, but from this point on, I'm going to start making disciples. And it's not microwavable. It's not something you do one study and it's like, oh, I'm a disciple. No, it's like a crock pot. It takes time. People come to Clearview and go, man, it's amazing. Wow, it's great, great. Y'all must have some rich people here. I've given 20 years of my life to this place, and I plan on giving the next 40, 50, whatever God allow. It's not microwavable. And the further we go in this new world in which we live, those who are willing to put their lives in that crock pot are the ones who are going to eat that good meal. So what happens when you meet? How do you start? I explain to you what happens very quickly when you meet. And again, I'm getting this information from Robbie Galati. You begin by studying the Word. There's a book in the Bible that you're studying. There are questions that are laid out. We're going to provide that for you. Number two, you memorize scriptures. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I will not sin against God. The way some of you men talk to your wives and you treat them, shame on you. But if you knew the scripture that says Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, you would know better. The way some of you wives treat your husbands, if you only knew what it means that the church is to submit to Christ, you'll know better. Folks, I hope you get it. It's the Word of God that gives us the standard by which to live. So you memorize these truths and you apply them in your life. Then there's accountability where you ask those tough questions and you help people, not get invasive, but you help people in their daily struggles. And finally, what do? You pray. My encouragement to you is start praying. God, who are those 3 to 5 people that I need to be investing in? Who are those individuals that need me to show them the pathway? See what God will do. Go therefore and make disciples. You cannot make disciples on a Sunday morning. I can do all I can, but that's not discipleship. You cannot make disciples in a Sunday school or a Bible study group or a small group. It's only so much you can do in that interaction, but it's not serious discipleship. It's when that group begins to narrow, just like Jesus did with Peter, James, and John. Did you know that each one of them became a leader in the church? Powerful leaders. In the next couple of messages, I will deal with how to study the Word. But let me remind you again what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Turn your attention to the screen. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. Ladies, commit these to faithful women who will be able to teach others also. This was the early church's way. And this should be our way. Disciples who make disciples.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. It's impossible to be a disciple by yourself. You and I need each other to help us stay accountable, to help us remain focused on God's Word, and to help us begin the process of discipleship. Pray and ask God to bring people into your life who can disciple you, as well as people that you can disciple. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadonshaw.com.